And now to Baghdad, where security is tighter than ever ahead of a Shiite religious holiday. The city is under curfew. Civilian vehicles are banned from the streets to try to stop car bombings. That may reassure some, but it makes things worse for people who have to move around the city. NPR's Corey Flintoff has this story of two men just trying to get to work.
Salim and Waleed were more than 2 hours late for work. In a city at war, people can offer all kinds of creative excuses for not showing up. But this story has all the elements in one ordeal: adventure, tragedy, and black comedy. Waleed is a cook for NPR's Baghdad Bureau. His day starts at around 5 when he heads to the market to stock up on meat and groceries ahead of a 3-day curfew. By 6:30, he has a trunk full of provisions, and he's on his way to pick up his friend Salim, an NPR translator. It's normally a 25-minute commute, but police and army checkpoints have sprung up everywhere, and he learns that the curfew, which was supposed to start tonight, is already underway.
So I sneak through the back alleys to pick up Salim, but everywhere we go, there's a traffic cop who says, go this way. Then the police block us that way. Then the army soldiers tell us to go another direction.
That means sweet-talking, begging, or, as Salim admits, lying their way through a variety of checkpoints. But a key bridge is blocked by a standoff between two branches of the Iraqi security forces. Soldiers of the Ministry of Defense won't let people from the Interior Ministry pass, and vice versa. Civilians get help from nobody.
This street was closed with barbed wires, and tough army soldiers. They are very angry and very, you know, they just want to kill somebody.
Things start looking better when a U.S. patrol of 8 Humvees pulls up. By now, Salim is at the head of a group of people who are trying to get to their jobs near the green zone on the other side of the river. He's finally convinced the American sergeant to escort them across the bridge when
we hear the whistle of the mortar and it hit the ground. We turn around. I saw half a body flying in the air.
Everyone's too busy ducking to see where it came from. A human being gets blown into lumps of flesh not 300 feet away, and what do you do? The Americans race back across the bridge. A few people take advantage of the confusion to follow them, but Waleed and Salim are worried.
The Iraqi army, maybe, or they will shoot. You know, they are crazy. It took like, 5 minutes, and then everything calmed down.
They decide to try another bridge. The second bridge is blocked to vehicles, but pilgrims are getting across on foot. One solution would be to park the car and walk, but they have about 100 pounds of meat and groceries in the trunk that won't last another 2 hours in this heat. Now it's time to get to know Salim and Waleed a bit better. Salim is a pink-cheeked guy with a bit of a belly, wearing a polo shirt, the kind with the alligator logo, and khaki pants. No way is he carrying a dripping box of meat across town.
I told him, Waleed, forget it. I will not carry anything. It's dirty, and I can't do anything with it.
Waleed is hipper-looking, with a soul patch and wraparound sunglasses, but he's a chef. No way is he going to leave all that food to rot. They spy a homemade handcart, and they borrow it from the parking lot manager, using Waleed's car as collateral.
And they said, if you will not get us the cart, you will not get your car back. I said, okay, deal.
So they trundle the cart across the bridge past checkpoints manned by soldiers that Waleed describes as having a master's degree in being dumb.
And we get searched by one officer who acts shocked, like it's the first time in his life he's seen cornflakes and aluminum foil.
By the time they get across the bridge, Coco, NPR's watchman, is waiting to help. He's the low man on the totem pole, so he gets to pull the cart. Even so, it's still a long trudge to work, and neither Salim nor Waleed will get home to tell their tale for at least 3 more days. Corey Flintoff, NPR News, Baghdad.